Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, good week, good month, good year to you. I'm Bishop Randy Dean with this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love because for me, all lesser values than love devolve, slide into the rabbit hole of BS. Bait and switch, or whatever else you might want to call BS. I am convinced the highest and singularly strongest value of the human existence is love. If we can reach for love, we will reach for all the rest of the goals of our life. Love is the highest goal, and as we reach for it, we will be climbing a ladder. We'll be climbing a mountain. We'll be walking a pathway toward all of our other goals. We'll meet our other goals on our way to love. And I hope you heard that. We will meet all of our goals in life as we reach for the highest goal, which is love. I have been here for over 2 years now, defining, wrapping my heart around, discussing, giving you lists, making sure that we can unpack the concept and the truth and the value of love in every way possible. I don't think I've even scratched the surface after 2.5 years. I think I've only begun, and I'm thrilled to tell you that I'm going to stay on this path. I'm going to stay on this pilgrimage and this climb for love. And as I just said, if you'll reach for love, all the rest of your goals will be found along the way. I'm convinced that when we have a full commitment to love, we have a full commitment to living life to its fullest. To that end, I have written Love's Creed, and I want to share it with you here on this broadcast every time we gather. I want to offer it to you in any way I can. If you'd like for me to send you a copy, I'd be happy to do that. If you'll contact us at the information my wife will give at the end of the broadcast, we can get a copy of this to you. But here's my Love's Creed, and I'll give it to you rapidly at first, and then we'll go through it piece by piece like a vow would be taken at a marriage altar, and I'll have you just say it out loud with me, all right? Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, sleeping, and I'm not eating, breathing, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. Excuse me, I hiccuped. I'm alive with plans and dreams and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed. I wrote that a few years back, and I'm just now beginning to see what a powerful creed statement it can become for all of us to say it out loud, or to say it to ourselves through the day, or to begin our day, to close our day, to put our head on a pillow at night, to remind ourselves before we start dreaming all those awkward things that come our way in our dreams, or our frightening things in our dreams. To say this creed, I think, is a way to establish a clear path in front of us. So let me give it to you like I would vows at a marriage altar, all right? Here we go. Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less than love. That Love's Creed can be handled as much as you would handle the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed that you repeat in a church service. But in this case, it's something I think that every day ought to be a part of this determination in our heart. I've been on this earth now, when this recording comes out, it'll be 69 years. My birthday is March 25th, and that's coming up in a few days, and I'll be 69. I've been here 69 years, and I have never seen a time in my life more desperately in need of a company of people whose passion, whose drive, whose pilgrimage, whose purpose is love. I have told you here many, many times, I claim no perfection at love. I've made plenty of mistakes. I only claim to be a pilgrim. I claim to be on a journey. I'm going to stumble in my journey, but I promise you this, if I stumble, watch me get up. I will get up and I'll keep walking. I'll keep running. I'll keep climbing, because love deserves the attention of every girl and boy, every man and woman listening to me, and beyond that, throughout our whole world. The horrors we're witnessing right now as Russia has invaded Ukraine has a solution, and that solution is love. Oh yeah, I know that sounds simplistic, but the truth is, it is far from simplistic. It is complicated because it requires every human involved in that nightmare to turn around, to change the trajectory of their life and thinking, to pull their thoughts out from hard-heartedness and hard-headedness, stubbornness and bitterness, and aim toward love in spite of all the bloodshed, in spite of all of the horrific, horrific, hellish things that war brings about. I'm here to tell you that there's no problem the United States of America has faced, but what love will be the solution if we will commit to it in a creeded kind of way, in a creed of life. The Bible says, watch your heart, for out of your heart proceed the issues of life. Every issue of life comes from your heart. Now, I'm going to add to that, that I believe the heart needs a home. See, when the Bible talks about your heart, it's not talking about your cardiovascular system. It's not talking about that muscle beating in the middle of your chest. It's not talking about your arteries and capillaries. It's not talking about how your lungs exchange oxygen and breathe, and your heart gets the oxygen transferred to your body through the blood cells. It's not talking about that heart. It's talking about the seat of life. The seat of your life, your heart, is a place to be guarded. And the way to guard that heart, the heart needs a home, and that home is love. Invite love as the station of your heart, for out of your heart will proceed all the issues of life. Every plan you make, every meal you design, every car you drive, every child you smile at, every tear you cry, every betrayal you walk through, every sad moment that comes along, every delightful celebration, every candle you blow out and while folks are singing happy birthday, every delightful and every demonic moment in life can be held in the strength of love, as your heart finds a home in love. When your heart settles, that throne of your living settles, love is my home. When your heart is determined to love no matter what comes your way. I've been repeating here and quoting from Brené Brown's The Atlas of the Heart. She really has held my attention now for the past few months. I bought this book while my wife and I were on a trip to Texas, and I've been poring over it as much as I can. And every time I read it, I find some new nugget, something in it that just calls me to full attention, to pay attention to this. And obviously for me, as you might know, since I'm the No BS Bishop, I'm Alive to Love, I've found myself just going over and over and over the chapter on love that she wrote, because she talks about all of our emotions create a path for us. They create a walkway, and in that walkway we find ourselves from sadness to anger, or we start with anger and we end with sadness, and a wide variety of other pathways that we walk. But in her discussion of love, she has an interesting page in this chapter. Now, this book is like an encyclopedia. It's huge. But she said, I don't think there's any braver sentence in the human catalog of brave sentences than, quote, my feelings are hurt. It's simple, vulnerable, and honest. But we don't say it very often because we just get pissed off, Are we hurt back? Are we internalized the hurt until we believe we deserved it or that something's wrong with us? But rarely do we say, quote, this really hurt my feelings. That's Brené Brown from The Atlas of the Heart. This really hurt my feelings. I have learned to say from, I'm not sure which one of our children, or maybe it was our grandchildren, said the phrase, that hurt my heart. So when we say our heart is hurt, we're more accurately displaying our love, because love gives the heart a place of vulnerability to stand out there, and it will easily be bruised or attacked. Now, if we take that as an attack, well, then we're more than likely going to take that into a place of anger, a place of revenge, a place of you get me, I'm going to get you. But the heart needs a home. And in that home, that vulnerable home, the home is love. So that we can say in any home, everybody in a home ought to be able to say, ouch, that hurt my feelings. And by saying it, we're not trying to manage or manipulate or shame somebody. We're only simply seeking to express the truest meaning of what our heart is walking through. That hurt my feelings. Let me give you an example. When my first pet died, I was 12 years old. I didn't know what to do with it. Nobody had helped me out. I had a lot of platitudes surrounding me. Everybody kept saying, well, you know, Tiny's in a better place. And I kept thinking, well, I can't think of a better place than right here next to me. They said things like, well, she's out of pain now. And I thought, okay, what did the veterinarian give her, a pill to stop her pain? I everybody had something to say except, hey, Randy, I bet this hurts your feelings. And I didn't know how to say, you know, this hurts my feelings. This hurts my heart. I didn't know how to say it. And I've just learned in life that the very best thing you can do with your heart is wear it on your sleeve. Go ahead and get your heart out on the sleeve. I've heard that criticized so many times, and I'm sorry, but I totally disagree with that. Our hearts ought to be out there. Now, I don't mean in a selfish, self-pitying way, but I mean in an honest and vulnerable way, to display love even when we're hurt, to display love even when we're feeling disappointed, to display love, to let your heart find a home and let that home be love, to let love be the place that you carry yourself when you're tempted to just be outrageously angry or outrageously revengeful, and to say, wait a minute, what is this coming? Where did this come from? Where did this start? Where does this revenge come from in me? Why am I bitter? Well, if we'll take it back to the root, we'll discover our heart was out there on a sleeve and it got hurt. And I know people will say, well, if you wouldn't wear your heart on your sleeve, you wouldn't get hurt so often. To which I say, if I didn't wear my heart on my sleeve, I wouldn't be the person I am today. I have learned that wearing my heart out there for the world to see is the best place for folks to discover love, to discover my love, to discover my forgiveness, to discover my mercy, to put love out there. And yeah, it'll be a great big old target. And some people, out of their own poverty, emotional poverty, they'll take a shot at it. I'm not here to continue, as my love's creed says. I'm not here. I'm not breathing, eating, sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. And in order to do that, I got to wear my feelings, my heart, right there out on my sleeve. It wasn't too long ago somebody said, well, you're just wearing your feelings on your sleeve. And I remember being astonished at that person who should have known better. But there again, I had to recognize this person speaking out of their own emotional poverty. And then I have a choice in that moment. I can love them because they're poor. They're poor of spirit. They're poor of heart. They're poor of mindset. Their meditations are trapped in a circle of poverty. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. So when we are able to find the balance and the equilibrium of our life, to be able, like Brené Brown said a moment ago, rather than being angry, to be able to pull it back and say, that hurt my heart. My heart was wounded. And if you have to express and say, I won't live there. I won't stay in that woundedness. I won't live in the moment of you having hurt my heart. But I need to express it so that I won't end up angry. Anger is the place we go when we don't know how to say, that hurt my heart. My joy in life is to be found in the fact that I grew up in a terribly dysfunctional family. That's right. It's a joy in life. I am grateful that I grew up not in a fully functional home, that there was drugs and alcohol involved in a person in the four member of my family of origin, and it created a world of challenges, a world of pain, a world of words and violence and confusion. I was the bottom of the pecking order in that. I was the youngster. I was the baby of the family. Everybody else was much older. And in my mind, growing up, that these older folks, the two adults and the teenager and young adult going on in life in front of me, they must know what life is really made of. So I'm watching their example. So I say that I'm grateful for that because it put me on a path when I had to own my own heart. Now, I want you to hear that carefully. When I had to own my own heart. You see, we all have pain, but we don't all own our own heart because of that pain. We can blame. And when I bring up the issues of my dysfunctional family, I'm not blaming, I'm explaining. I'm giving myself the opportunity to explain why I've had to take the path I've taken. And I'm thrilled to say that along the way, because of the poverty I grew up in, and I'm talking about both physically and emotionally, because of that poverty, I was set on a course of discovery. Now, I will tell you that early on in that course of discovery, I was plenty self-destructive. When people talk about self-harming, when people talk about suicide and other nightmarish solutions, I know exactly what they're talking about. But I'm also here to tell you that I found my way in the pathway of love. My heart found a home, and that home was love. So out of those nightmarish experiences in my childhood and into my early teen years, I went on to discover that God is love and love is God. And if I can stay on the course of discovering God, I'm going to discover love. And if I discover love, I'm going to discover more of God. So out of that pathway of pilgrimage and discovery, my course in life is for me, I consider it a privilege and my good fortune out of that bad fortune. But what I did was I made daily decisions, and daily decisions looked like finding somebody somewhere to help me get my hands and my heart wrapped around love. And to be able to say, that hurt my feelings. To be able to say, that hurt my heart. Those that know me, my wife is sitting by me right now. I'm sure if we're listening to this together. This weekend I'll be speaking at a retreat. Never mind. Hopefully she'll be listening to this anyway. But I will tell you that one of the qualities I am known for is I cry easily. Always have. And I hope I always will. As a kid, you know, I took a lot of teasing because I would cry easy. But as an adult and as a grown man, somebody once told me, oh, be a man, stop your crying, what's wrong with you? And I had to wrestle through those words. That hurt my heart. That did. It hurt my feelings. And I had to discover, why am I mad at that statement? Well, I'm mad because it hurt my heart. So rather than staying angry, I pulled back and went after love. So in my pathway of being an easy crier, and by the way, I cry ugly. If I try to talk through my crying, it's horrible. It's pathetic. It's, you know, I just need to stop a minute and get my throat to swallow clearly so I can speak clearly. But that being said, I have discovered that my tears express my pain better than my fist or my yelling. My tears are a far greater expression of hurt than anger, than insult, than sarcasm, than manipulation. I'd rather cry than manipulate. I'd rather cry than be angry. I'd rather cry and let it be known that here's me just standing in front of you saying, ouch. Listen, when we say ouch, more often than not, if we're, you know, in a public place and we're two or three people around us that know us and we say, oh, ouch, somebody's going to say, what happened? Are you okay? Now, that's true physically. Now, what if we learned love? So that out of love, if somebody says, ouch, and we recognize that that's not a physical pain, but it's an emotional pain, what our spiritual pain, what if we learned the pattern of saying, oh, my, are you okay? What happened? You see, that's love. The heart needs a home, and that home is love. So when love hears ouch, love asks, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you hurt? What can I do to help? Love doesn't look for platitudes and cliches. Love just looks to be a presence in the moment. Love doesn't try to solve all your problems in one fell swoop. Love recognizes that all by itself, without having to say a whole lot, love is an answer all by itself. So as I come in for a landing for today's broadcast, let me repeat love's creed for you. And then we'll go through it as a commitment, and I'll repeat it slowly. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. And here it is as a vow you might take as at a wedding altar. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. We close the No BS Bishop Alive to Love with two practices. They never get old for me. And I'm the one that leads you in it. So if it doesn't get old for me, I hope it's not getting old for you. And I believe in these two practices so much that I would urge you, just please give it 10 days of your attention and see if it doesn't become a lifestyle for you. And the first practice is healthy breathing. Jesus said the Holy Spirit is like the breeze. We don't know where it comes from and we don't know where it's going. So he's comparing God, the Holy Spirit, to the air we breathe, to the air that breezes across our face on a sweet spring day. So when we breathe well, we're living well. We're calming ourselves. We're lowering our blood pressure. We're settling our mind. And when our feelings are hurt and we breathe well, we're giving ourselves time to just see the hurt and not go toward anger. So on the count of three, I want you to breathe deep, put your feet flat on the floor, hold your head straight up, straighten out your spine, and breathe as deep as you know how, down into the basement of your diaphragm. Here we go. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it there. And exhale. That simple human experience of breathing expresses the need for our slowing life down, giving our heart a place to find a home in love. It'll make a difference for you if you make it a daily practice. If you can't do it 5 minutes every day, do it for 1 minute every day. But do it on some level every day. And that second practice we close with here every week with the No BS Bishop is to find somebody that you can look in the eye, be determined, be intentional, have your full attention gathered, looking somebody in the eye, and be able to say with your heart right out there on your sleeve, yeah, that's right, Say the three most charmed and magical words in the human experience, and they are these: I love you. Hear me as I'm saying that through the radio, through your computer, through your device, your iPod, your iPad, your telephone. Just listen to me say it. I love you. If you've ever caused me pain, I want you to know one thing. I love you. If you've ever caused me joy, I want you to know one thing. I love you. That's where I live. My heart needs a home, and that home is love. And since my heart has found a home in love, I refuse to let enemies into my home that want to come and steal, kill, and destroy my love. Because out of my heart proceed all the issues of life. And when in my heart, there is this guardian, this giant, throbbing, happy, joyous, strong, incredibly mighty power we call love, then my heart will proceed with issues of grace and forgiveness and kindness, patience, long-suffering. So today I want you to be determined to go out and do something beautiful in this otherwise ugly, horrific world. In a world of war, in a world of poverty, in a world of misunderstanding and pain, I want you to be determined to go out and do something beautiful because, oh, baby, ugly has been done to death. Let's be people who are alive to love with no lesser value as our target for this life, for this one and only life we get to lead. Thank you for joining me again today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. Now go out and do something beautiful, and be sure that you look somebody in the eye and say, I love you. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.